That is the only avenue to the fulfillment of all other demands. To believe in Christ. And it is precisely of that faith, Jesus' faith, man is incapable. The old unified, faith.
it does. That too complies with the law of God. And so, what Jesus is saying is that it is a psychological, moral, and religious impossibility. For man, apart from the efficacious drawing, which is of the nature of a gift from God the Lord, no teaching in the whole of Scripture brings this doctrine of man's total inability to sharper focus. This teaching of the Lord itself. In confrontation with the cross is there any one thing that we might hope to come within the comfort of man's native ability. It would be the faith of Jesus. But it is this very faith that man evangelism that is based on the assumption that the one thing man can and must do. He is confronted with the overtures of the overtures. That assumption is the direct confrontation of every word of Jesus. The direct confrontation of the very person. Incapable
of the understanding, affections, and will. Which will enable him to be subject to the law of God. Respond to the gospel of God's grace. Appreciate the things of the Spirit of God. Or do those things well pleasing to him. Neither understanding nor affection for will or will is capable of rendering that response which is appropriate to and required by the revelation of God's will in law and gospel. Or respond to the gospel of his grace, appreciate the things of the Spirit of God, or do the things well pleasing to him. Neither understanding nor affection, nor will, capable of rendering that response is appropriate to and required by the revelation of God's will in law and in gospel. Objection. The objection is that we considerably be urged against the doctrine and the objections that are actually urged. And one of the first objections is that this doctrine, totally not the name, is inconsistent with the commandments of God. Because the commandments of God are addressed to our responsibility and therefore presuppose an ability to discharge these commands. Or to neither for the objection is our obligation presupposes at least a modicum of ability to fulfill. A modicum of ability to fulfill. Now, objection, of course, it came to its classic expression in the Pelagian anthropology and soteriology, has been perennially urged in one form or another throughout the Christian church. the commandments of God cannot be graduated to our condition. They cannot be graduated or accommodated to our condition. Any such accommodation would be a denial of God's inherent perfection. God cannot demand less than complete conformity. To his likeness cannot demand less than complete conformity to his likeness. And that means complete conformity to that law which expresses his own perfection. For the regulation of human thought and behavior. In this, the minimum is the maximum, and the maximum is the minimum. No graduation, no accommodation, adaptation. Because of what God is, how important, is the effect of our sin? It is something that is implicit in our sinfulness. And therefore, we are responsible for our very inability only points the desperateness of the condition which is involved in sin. No sense that if obligation presupposes ability, then it presupposes total ability. Not a modicum of ability, a fraction of ability, but total ability. The obligation is total. Total. And that, of course, is what we must take into account. And the consequence would be that our sin in no way whatsoever impairs our ability. Consequently, only the Pelagian is consistent in the application of obligation, these forces are best.
gave you himself, chosen, clean out of your position. He was consistent. But consistent. To the denial. Denial of what sin involved, was acting our condition, our situation. Now to be sealed off gospel, which is the only provision to meet our helplessness and our hopelessness. If it is true, men should know it. Means of grace are the way of confrontation. But second, the means of grace, preaching of the gospel, the reading of the word, and so forth, the means of grace are after all means of grace. And that means that they are the channels through which the gospel comes into our despair. And the sovereign grace of God becomes operative unto salvation. As the channels of his grace, and to seal men off from the demon of grace is to seal them off from the very channels through which it has pleased God to save man. And if we say that it is useless for the natural man to attend upon the means of grace, and if we say that it is useless for the natural man to attend upon the means of grace, we are assailing the wisdom, the grace, and the power of God. The means of grace are premised on our helplessness and hopelessness. And God is pleased in his sovereign grace to intervene for the remedy of man's helplessness. Hopefully it is. Now a third again. Very common. That the preaching of this doctrine or the preaching of it is a counsel of despair. A counsel of despair to unconverted men. A counsel of despair to the lost. And it is not a good thing. The object is not a good thing. To proclaim to men what is the counsel of despair? The gospel, the means of grace,
whatever you want to call it, proclamation of this truth. It's simply the proclamation. To men of the conditions in which they are.
Is this your answer to
this? Yeah, this is my answer. The proclamation of the gospel, the proclamation of the whole counsel of God is simply the proclamation to men of the condition in which they are, what they really are. And it is all important that it registers in this faith. Register the despair that is implicit in their condition. Are men lost? Are they dead in trespasses and sins? If so, they must know it. They must know it. And therefore the know the despair that belongs to them in their total death. There is nothing more inimical to the interest of men than to conceal what their situation actually is. So my answer to this objection, of course, it is a counsel of despair. That's what it's intended to be. Now, fourthly and finally, it is objected that this doctrine is incompatible with the free overture of grace in the gospel. With the appeal for faith, with the assertion of human responsibility. Very plausible. In this tradition, why give them the free overture of the gospel? Why appeal for faith? Why confront them with their responsibility? Now, of course, the objection presupposes what I agree with, that there is the free overture of the gospel, that there is the demand for faith and repentance, that the gospel must be addressed to men's responsibility. No toning down. These facts. Now it is quite true that a great many people cannot preach Christ freely and fully to lost men, on the assumption of total inability. Quite true. They can't do it. And consequently,
inconsistent with this doctrine, namely, some area of freedom, some area of ability, with respect to that which is the demand of the Bible.
And we repent of this mistake. Now, the poll question.
Back again to this. Is this doctrine true? Is it true? Is it the doctrine of that revelation which God has given us? Is, of course, if it is the doctrine of the revelation God has given us, and there is no alternative, and if it is the doctrine of the revelation God has given us, it must be compatible with the God. Which that same revelation embodies. It must be compatible with the gospel which that same revelation embodies. And consequently, we shall have to come to terms with this doctrine. And if it is the doctrine of Scripture, then we shall have to revise our conception of the gospel. All that is to it. We shall have to revise our conception of the gospel in order that the gospel we preach be one that is based on the assumption total inability. Man's total inability. But I must go one step further. The only gospel there is a gospel which rests upon the assumption of man's total impotence. The only gospel that is. And it is after all this man's total impotence that lays the basis for the glory of the gospel of grace. Nothing is really more inimical, as I've said already, nothing is more inimical to the interest of the gospel than the assumption that there is some point at which the sovereign grace of God is dispensable. Some point at which the sovereign grace of God is dispensable. That there is some area power operative unto salvation that belongs to man himself, however minimal it may be, some area
power operating on his soldiers.
To put it in other terms, what is the demand that the God spoke?
What is it?
And glory it is pain.
Pain. What's the need? What is the nature of pain?
Of the grace, the power of God.
be appreciated. Will not be appreciated, of course, apart from the operations of God's sovereign grace. But it is just into that situation that the operations of God's saving grace enter. The gospel dovetails our comfort.
And when we are convinced of the same,
it is into the conviction, into that conviction, that the overtures of grace come with meaning, the sweetness, and the power. I don't take any notes just now. I don't put a great deal of stock in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not saying that we do a great deal of good in the area of common grace. It's not an institution that is promoting the gospel. A very striking fact. One of the principles of our Alcoholics Anonymous is that you can't do anything with an alcoholic until you convince his own choice. Some grand resolutions, I can't do anything with that. I can't take them on. The principle of their procedure. And perhaps in this regard, we might have learned just even a little lesson in that respect what takes place even in the natural sphere. That policy, you see, is based upon the conviction that his own total health is reference to this life. Convinced of his own total health, then they can do a lot more. And they have done in that respect maybe a thousand. He realizes his complete reliance upon what they are going to do for him, and not upon his own sense of resources. Now that's all on the subject of the sin. That brings to a conclusion my study.
Yes. Totally incapable in this possibility of mentioning that our men or natural men realize that he's a simple. But even if how can a natural man realize that he's a simple?
Oh,
you don't know that he doesn't know about the gospel, he never heard, but he always has that guilty feeling. That is something that he has a greater ability toward the religious aspect.
You mean the man who has not even been confronted with the gospel?
Yes.
How can he have a conviction of his soul?
Yes.
Well, he cannot really have a conviction of his own total inability in the sense that I have been developing it. And yet he is confronted with that. You see this conviction. Are you thinking about the alcoholic?
No.
Well, that's a purely natural thing to be the alcoholic. But in the case of men who are not confronted with the gospel, there is indeed many things. And that we have a certain sense of their guilt, a certain sense of their hopelessness. They may have that even outside of the pale of Christianity. And we must not overlook that entirely. The influence of natural revelation upon men outside of the gate of the gospel. But that kind of conviction that I'm talking about now is something that cannot come to me, cannot be born in a body without.